Good morning, my name is Steve. I'm the vicar here. It's great to see you. Great if you're watching online. Boys and girls, if you want to come sit at the front, you can, so you can see the pictures going up on the board. Come on down now if you'd like to come. And if you want to bring a parent with you, they can sit on you if necessary, which would be great. So do come forward. And do grab your Bibles, everybody. Do turn in your Bibles under your chairs. Page 998. It's 99. It's 1,000. 1,000. Turn to 1,000 in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to think together about these verses this morning. Great, well done. Well, do you know what? One of the great joys of doing what I do is because I get to tell people about Jesus, and I love telling people about Jesus. And one day I was in this church, and the whole place was full of kids from Firmer School, and there were loads of parents at the back, and I was saying goodbye to the parents as they left, and one of the dads came up to me and said, Steve, I said, yes. He said, Steve, that was a great talk. That was really, really good. And I thought, oh, thanks very much. And he said, but do you know what? I think that all that you believe is a load of rubbish. It is very nice for you, but I think it's unbelievable. Fairy tales. I think you've been tricked and fooled and deceived. That's what he said. He saw the vicar at the front and he thought, that guy is deceived. Ever so nice, tries really hard, part of the try-hard gang, but actually he has been tricked and fooled. And smiling, he went off. In fact, I was standing in Sages with him last night in a queue, and I went, hello. Your illustration tomorrow morning in my sermon. I didn't say that. But what do you think on this Easter day? Is all that we've believed about Jesus, if you're a believer, true? Or are we fooled? Have we been tricked? Have we been deceived? Are we believing the truth? Or are we believing a lie? Is death really the end after all? Well, what's shocking is that in our reading this morning, if you have a look at it, grown-ups, there it is. Jesus described by his enemies, the chief priests and Pharisees, as a deceiver. Can you see that there? Chapter 27, verse 63. They describe Jesus as a deceiver, somebody who deceives people, who tricks people, who fools people. You see, Jesus, he had died on the cross and he'd been buried. And the tombstone had been rolled across. Jesus, as far as they were concerned, was dead and gone. And they were thrilled to bits. But their big worry was that actually his foolish friends and disciples might try and steal Jesus' body and tell everybody that Jesus had come alive again. They were worried they were going to trick more people, deceive more people after he died. Look at what it says in verse 63 to 64. The chief priests, the Pharisees, they go to Pilate and they say, sir, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver, Jesus, said, after 3 days I'll rise again. So give the order to make secure the tomb. Otherwise, his disciples might come and say that that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first. Well, Pilate hears that. And what does he do? He listens to these chief priests and tax collectors who hate Jesus, and he does what they say. He sends soldiers across to the tomb to guard where Jesus' body was. There's one soldier there, another soldier there, and he told them, oh, he's falling down already, he's so excited. Here we go, let's put him here. There we go. There we go. Okay, and they told him to seal it. They probably would have sealed it with a bit of rope, and they'd have got some clay and put it across the front and attached it. And on the clay, they'd have put the stamp of Pilate. They'd have sealed it like that. Look at that. Job done. They felt so happy. Jesus had died. Tick. And now his tomb was guarded. No funny business. No one could say that he was alive because there's no way they could get his body. They couldn't get past his Roman guards. Job done. Sigh of relief. Off they went. Maybe they went off to fix that big tearing that curtain in the temple with the friends of the temple stitching guild and get them to do it for them. Well, a day passes. Early the next day at dawn, two friends of Jesus, Mary and Mary Magdalene, go to visit the tomb of Jesus. So what we do is that often when people die and they're buried, we go back to where they were because we want to be near them, and we're really sad they're gone. Can you imagine how upsetting it was to them? Jesus, who they loved, who they followed, they saw him die on the cross. They saw him breathe his last. They saw his body wrapped up, we're told. They saw his body being put into the tomb. They saw the stone rolled across, and Jesus had died. How sad it was for them. As they walk across the tomb, they get the shock of their lives, don't they? You see in verse 2 of chapter 28, there is an earthquake. Whoa, whoa, and suddenly, from heaven, an extraordinary thing happens. An angel of the Lord appears. He flies down. It's quite extraordinary. And there he is. I'd be terrified. Let's turn him around. There he is, loving the purple hair of the angel of the Lord. Here we go. Let's put you like that. Can we see? There we go. There he is. The angel of the Lord comes. And they're a bit shocked. They're a bit scared. And the angel of the Lord comes. Do you know what he does? He rolls back the stone of the tomb like this. Are you ready? And then he goes. And he flies down. Imagine. And he sits on the tomb. There he is. Well, I'd be terrified, wouldn't you? All of that happening. And do you know what? The soldiers were so shocked that they were shaking in their sandals. They were so scared. They looked like they were dead. They weren't. They were just shocked. Look, ready? Oh, 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 thud. Oh, 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 thud. They looked like dead men. They weren't. They were so shocked and terrified. What an extraordinary thing happened. And then the angel of the Lord speaks. And it's extraordinary what he says. He speaks wonderful news. Look at verse 5. He says this. Do not be afraid. He says this to the two ladies. Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. Look at this great line. He has risen. He is alive. And then they tell the ladies to go off and to let their friends know that actually Jesus is alive. He'll meet them in Galilee. Meet him there. Come and meet the risen Jesus there. How amazing. How extraordinary. Well, later on you read, actually, that's just what the disciples did. They met Jesus. But as Mary and Mary Magdalene went off, do you know what happened then? They were walking away, and then they met Jesus. The risen Jesus met them, and he said wonderful words to them. He said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not fear." He says to them, "Hello, greetings. Do not be afraid." Can you imagine what it was like for them? They'd seen him dying on a cross. They'd seen him buried in a tomb. And now there he was, standing before them, speaking wonderful words of truth and hope. Jesus is alive. Do not be afraid. And he tells them the same stuff. Go and tell my friends I will meet them in Galilee. Wow. How wonderful. The risen Jesus appeared to these women, and off they went. And we read on in verse 16 that the disciples met Jesus. Do you know what Mary and Mary Magdalene did when they saw Jesus? They saw him standing there, and they went down, and they held down and held onto his feet, and they worshipped him. They held onto Jesus, and they worshipped him. Isn't that a great picture of a great response to Jesus? To fall before him in worship and to hold on to the risen Jesus in faith. How amazing. They held on to Jesus and they worshipped him. And then they went off and told the friends. And the friends met Jesus. And when they first saw Jesus, we read on and see in verse 18, when they came to Jesus, they worshipped Jesus. Two. Isn't that amazing? The risen Jesus speaks and they worship and they go and tell. Do not be afraid. Well, it was a shock, wasn't it? It was a massive shock for these ladies. But off they went. Off they went. Can you see, boys and girls, and grown-ups here, there's two ways in this passage you can see Jesus. You can say he's a trickster, a deceiver, a liar and fake, like the chief priests and Pharisees did, or you can see Jesus for who he is, that he is the Lord. That he is the Lord God, the Lord of heaven and earth. If you look at verse 18, grown-ups, you can see what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He is Lord. You can either see Jesus as deceiver, or you can see Jesus as Lord. But did you listen and hear what happened next, boys and girls? When the guards got up, the guards ran away and they went to chief priests and Pharisees and they said to them, look, we just had this news and experience. The tomb is empty. This angel came and we fell on the floor and our sandals were shaking and it was terrifying and Jesus' body is gone. Oh, they were just terrified. And the chief priests weren't too pleased. And do you know what they did? They gave some money to the soldiers and said, we want you to spread a lie about Jesus. Spread this rumor about Jesus. Just say that during the night, you fell asleep and that the body was stolen by the disciples. Spread that news. Isn't that amazing? That the people who said Jesus was a deceiver, they are deceiving others through fake news, through false stories that are just not true. How extraordinary. You know, the other day, Jenny and I watched a film on the telly. There's a film all about a guy called Lee Strobel. And one day, Lee Strobel had the shock of his life. He was an atheist. He did not believe in God. He thought it was a load of rubbish. One day, his wife became a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and he was horrified. He couldn't believe it. It was a disaster for him. So what he did as a journalist, an investigator, he thought, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to disprove the resurrection. And I'll disprove it so my wife stops being a Christian and comes back to be with me as an atheist. And he researched, and he investigated, and he researched, and he investigated, and he researched, and investigated. And in the end, he was so convinced by the evidence, he became a follower of Jesus too. He trusted in Jesus. And now he tells people all over the world about Jesus and the evidence. Friends, I wonder where you are this morning. Maybe you are a believer, and you are delighting in the fact that Jesus is Lord. But maybe you're thinking, this is a load of rubbish. I've come to keep my family happy, but I don't believe it. Let me encourage you to doubt your doubts. To look at the evidence that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that countless people throughout history have experienced, and find out more about the risen Lord Jesus Christ. What will you do with Jesus? Will you write him off as a deceiver? Or as the Lord of heaven and earth who died for you and rose again and offers you life now and forever and ever and ever. For one day, friends, all of us will meet Jesus as judge. Let me tell you about a little boy who was not so little, actually. He was called Gary Bingle. He was very tall. He shaved all his hair off. He was big and strong. And if Gary was your friend, that was good news. But if Gary was your enemy, you didn't want that to be the case. I wanted Gary to be my friend. Gary was 11, and I was his 26-year-old class teacher. And I thought to myself, Gary, I want you to be my friend, because you can make my life miserable as a teacher, so I got very close to Gary. If you're watching, Gary, I hope you're doing well. But actually, how I reacted to Gary is a little picture in a way of how will you respond to Jesus. If he is your friend, if you're trusting him, then it's good news as Lord. He is risen and he promises you forgiveness and salvation and life forevermore. But if he's not your friend, then you should fear. You see, in this passage again and again, it's about do not fear, do not fear. If you're not trusting Jesus yet, you should fear meeting Jesus as your judge. For he has the power to punish you forever and ever in the place the Bible calls hell. It's so serious. The question is, friends, this morning, what will you do with Jesus? Will you say he's a deceiver? If you will say that, you must fear. Or today you could say, no, no, he's Lord, and bow to him. What a great picture it is in the Bible this morning, what it means to follow Jesus, to trust Jesus. It's to worship him. It's to hold on to him by faith. It's to say he's Lord. That means we put at his feet our family, our time, our money, our relationships, our thoughts, our careers, our homes, everything. We say, no, you're Lord, and I'm going to trust you with everything. That is what the Bible calls worship, not just singing, the worship of your whole life. On this Easter day, 2024, how will you see the risen Jesus? Will you cover up the story's deceit? Or will you bow the knee to Jesus, Lord? Because that will change everything. I love it, don't you, when Jesus meets the ladies and he says, greetings, hello. There's a lovely hymn that we're going to sing later on in the service. It goes like this. Listen to this. Lo, look, Jesus greets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For our Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death hast won. Let me pray. Sit up straight, hands together. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Lord God, for this amazing story of those who said Jesus was a deceiver. That when earth spoke, they said he was a deceiver. But when heaven spoke, said that he's Lord and is alive and risen. Help us to trust the witness of your word. May it transform our lives, our worship, and our Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.